No, it's been a little while since I recorded. The plan is still to get back to a daily schedule. When I originally started, I had a lot more free time. So it was easier to make sure it happened. Now that I'm trying to get back to, you know, reading and journaling and now recording. I sometimes don't get to everything. And really, I feel like here and journaling are both very important for me because I noticed when I was writing the last time, I think differently a lot with a pen in my hand than I do when I'm speaking. There's a more of a wispy, lighter feel to it. My brain's able to kind of smoothly transition from thought to thought. And it doesn't come in so sporadically. It's more of I'm able to steal the ship more. To where, when I'm speaking, whether it's, you know, here or with a group of friends or over the phone having a strategy session, I feel like I have a lot less control. That the thoughts just kind of come in waves and I get what I get. So I definitely want to make sure that both practices are followed, but at the same time, I want to be able to share and express what it is going inside my mind. So that way, other people can get a sneak peek into what's going on. Because this whole thing really started with trying to feel less alone, not for myself so much, but for others. I'm letting them know that, you know, some people do think these thoughts, some people do have the same questions they have. And I think there's not only power in that for, you know, me, the community, but for whoever notices that they're not alone. Because like I said, I was practically paralyzed with loneliness growing up, even through, you know, young adulthood, going through my 20s. Because I tried to have these deep, meaningful conversations with people, and they'd have no interest. So I just thought they didn't care about the same types of things, and I didn't question the same type of things. But then as I, you know, grew older and transitioned into my late 20s, I realized that a lot of people think, you know, have these audacious questions that they want to have answered, but they don't want to go through the risk of exposing themselves as someone who's having those questions and then having people judge them for asking or maybe not having the answer or direction to finding the answer, you know. So that's my long-winded way of saying, hey, how's it going? But I'm just on my way into work. Which, you know, in the car is normally my favorite place to record and document my thoughts. I don't know why, it's just always been that way. I'm actually in a new car that I just picked up. This car, alright, so we're going to try to cram this in real quick. So this car is a 1999 Toyota Corolla, single owner, full service records, super clean body, very light underbelly rust for a 20-year-old car in the state of Ohio, 115,000 miles. Owner didn't need it anymore, took it back to the dealership, he bought it for him, took whatever they gave him, $600. Does have a check engine light. It's going to be about $300 to get it off. It's a small component on the engine. I don't fully know what it does. I trust the mechanics not to bullshit me because it's the dealership my wife works at and she can figure out if it was bullshit or not. and I need the front brakes, which is standard maintenance. So I was able to pick up the car for $600, and then I'm gonna have to get those two things fixed. So we're looking at maybe $1,000 into this car. Okay. I picked it up immediately. Now there's a few cool things about it. Well, one, and also has a sunroof. So like 99, this thing was classy for a Corolla. So I've been looking for another beater that was a little bit more fuel efficient, a little bit smaller. I'd be able to transport the dogs in, not worry about it getting too dirty or too covered in hair. It'd be pretty much my work vehicle, you know, get back and forth to work, drive it in the winters. Because I have my great-grandfather's car, the 91 Crown Vic. It's got a series of small problems right now. It needs a fuel pump. I'm installing and replacing the fuel pump because once I replace the fuel pump, and then I'm going to start tackling the transmission and whatever else happened right before I had to park it. And, you know, I want to spend the money into it because it's a good running car, minus those two issues. And it too, has very little rust, especially underneath. Underneath, it is super solid, has a little bit of body rust. And the car's been in the family. Nobody outside the family's owned it. I like big body, boxy, you know, 80s cars. Early 90s cars. But it wasn't ideal to throw $2,000 to $3,000 in it to get it fixed and then drive it through the winter, being, you know, rear-wheel drive, bigger car. It's probably going to be in a pretty icy winter. So, you know, the wife and I have been debating on, do I buy another beater or do I just put the money into that? And at least I'll know, you know, the full service history of the vehicle and what could be wrong with it. Ultimately, getting another beater would have been ideal, but finding a car that's low enough miles that isn't going to cost, you know, $2,000 to $3,000, because I only want to spend no more than $2,000 on it, that's in, you know, good shape. Obviously, it doesn't really matter that much if it's an eyesore, but nobody really wants to drive an eyesore, right? And, you know, I just kept on telling myself, you know, it'd be amazing if I could find a single owner, preferably older in age, because they have a tendency to follow through with, you know, maintenance and get everything looked at regularly. And, you know, the older generation, they saved a lot of the receipts and stuff, so I'd be able to see the full service record and, you know, so on and so forth. Well, this car gets turned in. And it worked out great, right? Like, I held on to the thought deeply. And it manifested. Same thing has been happening my entire life. But I didn't understand to pay attention, you know? The job I'm at now is on second shift, which second shift does not work well for me. I don't get to see my wife at all. And I really need to see my wife, even if it's only for an hour a day. I love my wife. I want to spend time with my wife. So daily interactions, a must. And I'd be leaving before she'd come home from work, and then I would either have to stay up all night so I could see her in the morning before she went to work, or go to sleep and then try to wake back up. So it was not ideal at all. And then we'd only get a couple minutes with each other. But I also didn't want to leave my machine because it's the highest paying machine in the building. And it's a machine that isn't favored by a lot of people in the company, so I don't worry about getting bumped out of my role because of seniority, because it's a union shop, seniority gets to pick what they want. So what ended up happening was a guy that I liked, who was part of my crew, ended up getting fired for attendance, which he didn't want to be there anyways. He was looking for an excuse to quit, so that was his way of being forced out the door. Was, you know, he took an extra day off beyond what he was allowed, pushed him out of the building. Well, that created rotation on my machine where people moved, and I ultimately was able to end up on third shift. There was a couple other things that happened before that. One of the other operators was tired of being on second. He wanted to, or tired of being on third. He wanted to come to second shift now that his bowling season was open. Yada, yada, yada. Well, it all resulted in me taking a less responsibility job, because that was the biggest thing for me was I wanted off second shift, and I did not want to be the one in charge of my machine. There's just a lot of things going on the machine that I didn't understand. The way that you have to be able to think and organize information and be precise and analyze a box, it's not how my brain works by default. There's a huge rewiring process to try to figure this thing out. And I was slowly learning it. I'm still slowly learning it. But not at a pace that the company would be able to accept. So, you know, I think it was only a matter of time before they tried to get me off the machine, too. So it's better that I could do it myself than them force me, right? But, like, COVID canceling bowling made the third shift operator want to come to second, so we just switched. And then we had an operator who worked at another company for several years, and he's a good operator who's tired of doing the stacking job, who want to move up to the front, so we just switched. Well, the amazing thing, too, about me being on third and switching with the stacker was when my transmission blew up in my car, that stacker was then able to give me rides home. Now, he was fired over a small, stupid technicality at his last job. If he wouldn't have lost his job, he would not be able to help me with transportation when I needed it. And see, Jim Carrey has a speech he does where he points out to somebody in the audience way up back and says, you know, God knew that someday you were going to be here at this moment. So he put me through a series of events so that way I could be the person you need me to be to stand on stage to tell you the things that you needed to hear. And, you know, I think that shit's real to some effect. And that's not the exact quote, but that's essentially the message, right? Like, when it comes to cosmic life and the duration of time that exists that is everything, there is this way of things tying together beyond what we can see. You know, if there is some sort of divine power or cosmic energy or something, you would have to admit that it only makes sense that it worked in eternity. Like, the universe's plan doesn't exist only in this moment. It's being played out through a series of lifetimes. So I don't know. I'll go into this more at another time. I really like this concept.